Hello and welcome back to the Facts of Facts, the only Facts of Life podcast that has a entire notebook filled with the scrawlings of a Facts of Life
fanatic.
Facts fanatics. There you go.
Tucked away in Facts of Facts towers. We have a very special episode today. We've got, of course, my illustrious and lovely co-host, Britt Lundborg. Say hello, Britt.
Hello.
How are you today?
Great.
How are you feeling about today's episode?
Pretty bad. This is the worst one we've seen.
All right, cool.
I feel like we've said that every episode.
Yeah.
Just so you know. Like, every episode starts with, how'd it go? I think this is the worst one.
Oh my God.
No, I thought the one where Blair got raped wasn't so bad.
It sounds bad.
What?
This doesn't sound like a fun
I mean, it's a dark episode, but it's an intense episode. You get feelings from it.
Oh
so that's
God.
A plus compared to this episode. So you're hearing some voices. Let me introduce those voices. The man voice that you heard is my good friend and non-sexual life partner, Grant Levy. Say hello, Grant.
Hello.
How are you today?
I'm good.
Okay, good. And
I just want to say I think this is the worst episode we've seen so far.
Thank you.
Which is a big disappointment to me because it's been an ongoing thing in this show that I have been defending Molly's character as someone of interest who I'd like to get to know more of. And they really dropped the ball here.
Yeah, well.
This was a Molly-centric episode, and I'll say, here's the only thing. She did act her ass off.
She wasn't the problem, as usual. The writing was the problem,
yes.
Well,
as
usual. Let me get to our special guest today and introduce April Quio.
Hello.
Did I pronounce that right?
You did it. You did so well.
Thank you so much.
Very ethnic. I'm very proud. You did it.
April, tell us a little bit about yourself as a Facts of Facts newbie.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Facts of Facts newbie. Watched Facts of Life growing up with my older sisters. Do not recall Molly Ringwald being on the show.
Oh, yes.
I felt like I would have remembered that. What else just about me as a person?
Yeah, tell me about you.
Okay. I'm an Aries. I am black. It will come up during the episode. What else? I also have a podcast. Can I pit my podcast?
Yes.
Okay. I also have a podcast called She's All Fat with my friend Sophie, and we talk about being fat and pop culture stuff. So check that out if you're cool. If you're not cool, don't check it out. We don't want any uncool fans. So you gotta be cool.
And so I worry that if you're listening to the Facts of Facts Season 1, Episode 12, you're probably not the coolest, but I love you for being there. I don't think I'm cool myself, so...
You're cool.
I'm a Facts of Life fan. I'm a Facts of Lifer. Alright, so...
April, like, what is your relationship with Facts of Life? What do you remember, other than watching your sister, like, do you remember episodes? Like, how many episodes do you think you've seen of the show?
I think I've seen maybe, like, 60% of the episodes. I remember being there mostly for Tootie, because she's the only black person on the show, if we're being honest, and because I love Kim Fields.
There's so many black people on this show.
No, it was just, I was there for, like, Tootie's development, so I remember being mostly involved in what she was going on in her, like, roller skates and stuff, and then paying attention to the other white girls around.
They were not distinguishable.
No.
Well, especially in this early scene, in this early season, it's that they have those two indistinguishable blonde ones.
Yeah.
Where you're like, I don't know.
I guess one of them is Midwestern.
Yeah. She brings that up a lot. Yeah, that's like her defining thing. The other one is the lesbian.
Yes. Well, in the first episode, Cindy, who is one of the two girls that's shipped off early this episode, is questioning her sexuality. And before we get into this episode, I have a theory. I couldn't find the production numbers on this episode, but with the whole theme of vacation, this was the second to last episode that aired in the season, and I believe it was intended to be the finale, because the next episode that we have is called Dope, and Helen Hunt buys all the girls bongs or something.
So tune in for that.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
So that one, I believe, was deemed too controversial to air within the season. So both this one and the Dope episode aired outside of the season in the summer. And I think they didn't really care which order they aired them in. And so my theory is this was to be the final episode. And that's why we shipped off Nancy, Bradley, Cindy as quickly as we could.
Yeah, well, way to go out with a bang on this particularly pathetic, shitty episode.
Your final line is like, come on, I gotta get to the airport. And, like, never seen again.
Because the airplane crashed.
I have to believe this one was intended to be the finale, regardless of when they aired. Yeah, I mean, because it's like everybody's going, like, the point of this episode starts with, All right, get your bags. We're all going home for vacation.
Oh, good. Actually, that brings up a good point. So in season two, right? Mm-hmm. Do they ever address the fact that the other girls haven't returned?
Okay, here's what happens.
It's like whatever happened to Nancy, Cindy, Sue Ann, Molly, and Mr. Bradley.
It's really interesting what happened. Mr. Bradley is gone for good, but each of the girls gets like one or
they come back.
Two moments to be an extra in season two.
What? With lines at least?
Not always. What? Like Nancy, I believe, didn't get a line. She just stood there in a group twice.
Well, she did that in the last episode too.
Yes, she did. I remember, I think there's like one time that Molly has one line, one time that Cindy has one line. I mean, we're going through this, so I'll know all these things for sure, and I'll have them locked in. But, yeah, they basically disappear. Although, and I forget if I told you this, and the podcast, but in, I believe it's season 8.
How long did this go on?
Nine
years.
What? Was it like 200
movies.
Episodes?
Oh, 209 episodes.
Oh, my God.
In three movies.
Wow.
So in season 8, all of the girls from season 1 return for an episode called The Little Chill. Except for Molly Ringwald, who they say is a famous actress.
Oh, nice.
But all the other girls come back. They talk about Roger and everything.
Oh.
So, yeah. So they'll be...
Did Nancy actually marry Roger?
I can't recall, but I know he's so discussed.
When you record the facts for that episode when you are in probably your 60s,
yeah,
you'll be very excited and probably forgotten all of these girls by then.
I'm so glad that you've teed this up for me from 30 years from now, when we finally get to that season.
Yeah. All right, guys, we're going to get through this faster. Yeah. Okay, we are just so close. I can, like, almost smell Joe. But
ew.
Yeah. It smells like motor oil.
and pussy.
Oh, jeez. Anyway, so we're left with a Molly episode, as we mentioned, which means I'm not going to understand half of what she says. I don't know about you, but when Molly talks, I can't follow it. Like, it's like...
She does that weird, that speed talking, right?
Yes.
Like a little kid who's like, I don't even know what's happening. Then I went outside, and then there was a cup, and then I looked out the window, and then, oops, my dad's coming, and my parents are divorced. Like, she talks like that.
Yeah, I can't follow it.
Wow. You barely can follow what I just said.
Yeah, it's true.
Precocious is the word you're looking for.
Yeah, that's true.
And so Molly's just sitting sullenly on the couch, and Nancy and Cindy start the show with a couplet of dialogue, which just tells you the quality of episode we're going to get if Nancy and Cindy are starting.
Because everyone's going home for holiday, and so, like, they're, you know, Nancy and Cindy are coming down the stairs and saying, like, why... You know, Cindy says to her, why are you taking two giant suitcases? You're only going home for a few days. And she has the tiny little one where she's like, these are my clothes I need. And then she's got a giant big suitcase. She's like, this is my laundry. Which,
yes.
Like, that's where we're starting out. That's the level.
It's like,
our big joke. That's what, yeah. Let's open up the show
laundry.
With a big laugh.
Yeah, yeah. Lot of subpar luggage jokes.
Well,
it
feel
was
like
a lot of luggage jokes. It was like a full act of that. Oh, my
it
God.
It felt like the producers wanted to remind us why they were being written out of this episode and the series. So they're like, look, they can't tell a joke. Give them a really shitty joke to tell. Look, see how bad they are? Mm-hmm. Their plot was goodbye.
Oh yeah.
God,
that was their plot this episode.
Damn.
And so Mrs. Garrett tells Tootie if they're going to New York, she wants to see Tootie's bags downstairs immediately.
No, how does she start that sentence? Tootie! That's what she does.
It was screech city. That was my other note. It was just like, it was nonstop screeching. Like
From
her. I like was getting a full migraine by like the third act where she was just like, you have to take the phone call. Like,
yeah, exactly.
And I don't want to describe women as shrill, but like,
yes.
This is Garrett as shrill.
Yes.
So, like, it was uncomfortable.
I can't agree more. And also, like, she screams on the, like, to Molly, who's an inch away from her at some point. And like, Molly's dad is on the phone. And I know that the hold button had been invented, but I didn't see her put it on. She put the phone sideways, and then wouldn't Molly's dad be a little like terrified? Like, what the hell is happening at this school?
Yeah.
But anyway, there's like a plot. There's an episode where Mrs. Garrett and Tootie have an adventure in New York.
Oh yeah,
that sounds great. I'd watch that episode.
I would love to watch that episode.
Oh my god,
just like Miss Garrett like pushing Tootie on her roller skates down the sidewalk.
Yeah, well, while they visit the three essential sites that Blair tells
naturally
that Blair tells Tootie, which are the Empire State Building, the Statue of Liberty, and of course Bloomingdale's. Yeah. Which are three places you should avoid if you ever go to New York City.
There's that made me wonder for the first time in my entire life, is Blair basic?
No.
Those are the most basic options of New York visitry I can imagine.
Especially for a child. She was telling an 11-year-old, like, you need to go to the Empire State. It's like, why?
Like, you're going to die.
It's like, go to FAO Schwartz.
Yeah, go to
the
Toy Store.
Go to Toy Store. Like, go to Central Park. There's a zoo.
Is there good ice cream you know about, Blair?
Go to Serendipity's and have a frozen hot chocolate.
And like, Tootie's like, I just want to go to Bloomingdale's because I want to get a bunch more matching yellow jewelry for my all-yellow outfit that I'm wearing.
Yeah. She's wearing a charm around her neck that says Yippee, if I remember correctly.
Yes. In big yellow bubble letters. And then also a giant yellow roller skate, like a giant Pandora charm on a gold chain.
You bring up Pandora all the time.
I just learned what it was like 2 weeks ago.
Oh my God.
And then I went Christmas shopping in the mall and I saw the Pandora store and the line and it was like a bunch of sad men zombies.
Shout out to Pandora. We'd love a sponsor. Yeah.
Sponsor by Pandora.
We'll take it.
It's like a big roller skate. As though we didn't know that that was her thing.
She loves roller skates.
Yeah. And it's like kind of like Flava Flav, kind of big the enough, clock. Like a clock. You know, where it's like.
It also has another clue to me that it's season finale. It's that like Tootie has two statement pieces on. And so I feel like the costume department was like, shit, these are both so good. What do we do? We only have one more episode. Throw them both on her.
Speaking of the costume department, here's the thing. Is that they feel as though they blew their wad on Tootie's jewelry in this episode. Because her jewelry is off the chain. Mm-hmm. Everyone else is insane. Because we haven't even talked about Mr. Bradley. Because he's going on vacation, too. He's going to Club Med in Hawaii, right, to get some R&R.
Yes.
And he comes in wearing a cowboy outfit.
Oh, my God, that's so true. With that
What
hat.
The fuck?
Or Molly's dad was supposed to be, like, midlife crisis, like, pimped out, and he just looked very average.
And Judy, like, saw him through the window and was like, ooh, who is this?
Yes, like a Stone Cold Fox.
Or something a little better than that.
Before Mr. Bradley enters, though, Blair is certain to body shame Tootie. At the end of that conversation.
Oh, yeah,
that's right. That's right.
Tootie's excited about going to Bloomingdale's because she definitely wants to get a bra, right? Mm-hmm. And Blair says, Tootie, there's no rush.
Yeah.
Very rude.
Like, let her get a fucking training bra.
There is so much Tootie Titty continuity, though, because
she was just talking about it
last week's episode about how she found out. Was that the back of the... No, that's this episode. Oh, there's so many things.
I know.
They're all blurring together. But yeah, she can't stop talking about wanting boobs. And it brings it up a couple times in this episode.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and also another thing that we do, which is the first time we ever do it. This is the first time we make the gag of Blair has a fuck ton of luggage.
Oh, yeah.
They will make that joke 7,000 times for the rest
she's
of the
She's got season. A mountain of Gucci luggage. And Mrs. Garrett says, oh, she's traveling live.
Oh my God, I also like...
Britt has been working on her Miss Garrett all season, and it's really great.
I mean, this mysterious vacation, too, is also odd to me, because if you're going on summer break, or if it's school's over for the year, you don't call that vacation. Like... Christmas vacation, Easter vacation.
Yeah, but Tootie and Mrs. Garrett are going to New York for
together.
The weekend.
Yeah, it's
I think
strange.
It's spring break. Like, did somebody mention spring break at some point?
It might have been spring break.
So. But the thing is that there are no seasons at Eastland. That's like, true. Aside from the rainy season during the monsoon. But it doesn't. Yes. It seems as though we don't know when anything is.
Wait, where are they? New York?
Yeah,
in Peekskill, New York, upstate New York.
Just, a little bit outside the city.
So then, let's see.
Sue Ann and Blair trade insults, because Sue Ann says a very specific thing about what she's planning on doing in Kansas.
Oh, I heard this 17 times, and I was like, is she saying she wants to smell the weed? And then I was like, oh, wait. Wheat.
Wheat. Yes.
And then Helen Hunt pops up. Did someone say
weed? Yeah. Oh, Helen, get out of here. You're next week. Yeah. So she says she wants to eat a big stack of her mom's pancakes and then go fishing with her dad at Miller's Pond. As though anyone knows what the fuck that is.
She's just one of those
specific.
That pretends like you know her life and she's just going to talk about it.
And then Blair insults her by saying, oh, that's so wholesome, I could barf.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, sure.
I was surprised she didn't take a shot at her for the pancakes.
Yeah, like,
usually she's body shaming Sue-Ann, who's perfectly thin, or healthy, I should say.
Yeah, every week she's been like, thunder you're fat. Thighs. Wow. And then at one point, Sue-Ann gets an eating disorder and nearly dies.
Because Blair shamed her into it.
Wow.
And, yeah. That's horrible. And then the next week, Blair starts doing it again.
Yeah.
But this episode, they like stepped around it.
Yeah. And then Sue-Ann.
They must have finally gotten the note.
Yeah. Sue-Ann then retorts, Blair, you know what you can do with New York?
And then the audience goes quiet, waiting for a joke that never comes.
It doesn't. And I agree. That happens a lot in this episode, where everyone's sort of like.
Was that your joke?
Yeah.
Yeah. And, but
what's the next line?
That's the next line. Blair makes a face like, how dare you?
Are we supposed to think like, yeah.
Like shove it up your ass?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Wow, I didn't even register.
Yeah, just shove like, up what? New York up your ass.
I have to say, watching this episode was like reading a book that was assigned to you like in first grade that you want to read, and that like you read like 4 or 5 pages and you're like, wait, what did I just read?
Yeah.
And you go back. Yeah. Like, I had to rewind this episode constantly. Be like, my mind just wandered.
Yeah.
I was just like, wait, well, I have to go to the supermarket later. What do I need? And I was like, oh, wait, I have to watch this. Rewind.
I could not retain it. They just kept cutting to, like, shots of luggage, different luggage falling down the stairs. Like, I just could not keep up. Yeah. It was so wild. They would, like, just do a close-up on somebody telling a luggage joke. Like, yeah. The other thing I forgot about the show was, like, when someone's ready to tell a joke, it's like, cut to close-up of, well, I like pancakes. it doesn't deserve a close-up.
Yeah.
And Tootie and Natalie are the go-to people for jokes that are close-up. Because they rarely have their own plots, Tootie and Natalie. They're always off to the side just making fun of everybody else.
Cracking wise.
Yeah.
So then the phone rings.
Oh, and Mrs. Garrett screams at it like a lunatic. Multiple people don't seem to know how phones work in this episode.
I'm coming! And then answers, hello? It's an academy, or whatever.
She like gets like furious with it. Like, the closer she gets, it's like she's mad at it that it won't stop ringing.
Yeah, it's a phone. And that's how I actually like to imagine that's how she actually, what she screams in bed when she's orgasming.
Coming!
Also,
Tootie doesn't know how phones work because she tries to show the orthodontist her overbite over the phone.
Oh my god!
At one point, so like they have a space age phone they haven't explained to us yet.
Yeah, video phone,
or just like nobody's figured out this newfangled device that's in their living room.
Yeah,
So it is Molly's dad on the phone. Yeah. Which is the first thing that gets Molly off the couch. I'm kind of surprised that Sue-Ann's boring story about Kansas didn't get her. Like, I'm just going to leave. But
I got to get out of here. I can't hear any more about Kansas.
Did somebody say Miller's Pond?
Yeah, exactly. I need to know more about that.
So I'm starting to suspect that the reason why Molly is so sullen has to do with her dad.
You think? Because when Mrs. Garrett berates her for being like, your dad's on the phone, she comes over and just hangs it up.
Yes, she does.
Also, can we comment on her outfit?
Oh, please. By all means. Because, She'll change it soon, so now's the time.
Yes, I know. So Dominic always brings up her outfits.
Okay.
Because she seems to have like a lot of weird outfits that involve suspenders and
she has
also
one specific
string
outfit
ties.
In multiple different patterns. They all have string ties that match. They're all different, like child's men's business suit.
Yeah, the pants.
Her character, just for example, was like, she was supposed to be kind of the Jane of all trades. She was kind of artistic and, like, you know, empowered.
Like feminist, that was what she like proto-feminist.
But she didn't really have an episode yet, so I was like, I'm into this character. I'd like to see what, like, 1983 Facts of Life.
1980,
bro. Yeah, 1980 Facts of Life thinks of what an empowered
this is the year of spectacular bid.
Yeah. And so then they never get there because she doesn't survive the purge, and this is the only episode they give her. But that being said, like, yeah, she always is color coordinated. Like, so she'll have pink pants on, and then always a plaid top that matches in color to the pants. Mm-hmm. So pink pants, then pink, but a different shade of pink. Overalls and then a shoestring bow.
Yeah.
But this one was red, which made me, and honest to God, she really looked like an elf on the shelf.
Oh my God, wait, no, that was my note also. I just wrote glow up is possible because, like, growing up on Molly Ringwald, like on John Hughes movies, I'm like, Molly Ringwald is like the epitome of beauty. Seeing her is just like horrible looking. I mean, she legitimately looked like a full scarecrow. Like, I was like, I was like, anyone one day can be beautiful. Like, really.
That's such a nice message. Anyone can grow up to be beautiful.
She was a horrible horrible looking adolescent and grew into a beautiful woman.
Yes.
It really was inspiring to me.
That's your key takeaway from watching this.
I was like, that's my ring wall. Kids, it gets better.
Yeah. Well,
kids listen enough.
That is something that someone says. Mrs. Garrett. She goes, it gets better, which I guess that's where that phrase came from gay youth.
Facts of Life invented It Gets Better. That's why it's on Logo right now.
That's true.
Shout out to Logo. We'd love you as a sponsor. That one makes a lot of sense, actually. Anyway, just do network sponsor podcasts.
Sometimes.
All right. Logo, let's do this. So Molly refuses to answer the phone. She
runs away.
She tells Mrs. Garrett to lie first. Mrs. Garrett looks at her like Molly said, go fellate my dad. Mm-hmm. She is like horrified at the idea that she has to lie. Mm. But she comes up with a way around it, which I thought was quite clever.
Mm-hmm.
She gets on the phone, closes her eyes, and says, I'm afraid I can't see Molly right now. The audience doesn't laugh at that.
No.
Because they can't see that she's closing her eyes.
Yeah, because...
And you can barely see it on the show.
Yeah.
Well, she tried. She had her eyes wide open, and then she shut them real tight. And she was trying to get this weak joke across, but the audience was like, nope, not even going to titter.
Well, the thing is that I think that Mrs. Garrett is always the moral compass of this show. She's the heart of the show, right? She's the most reasonable one. She's the most caring, giving, generous, all that stuff, right? Which are all the values of Eastland.
You've been watching too much Facts of Life.
God, it's been like nonstop. I dream about this show now.
I do too.
It's become part of our sexual fantasies.
Your dreams must be so boring.
Oh, so boring.
Luggage dreams?
Luggage dreams. And running, constant running.
Yeah. Just Blair packing for 7 hours, then you wake up.
In any case, but I do think that's why Mrs. Garrett does that very subtle, non-visual, like a visual joke for, I guess, the studio audience, but the audience watching at home. Because she would never lie. And this isn't her lying, right?
Yeah.
But later in the episode, she does lie. She agrees to take part in the
charade.
Which I was genuinely surprised by.
I was surprised that
Mrs. Garrett, this is so unlike you.
Well, the plot dictated that she had to do this. Yeah. Yeah. So character be damned. Which is great because then, like, she tries to run Molly down, remember?
Mm-hmm.
After she closes her eyes. Are we up to that part yet?
Yes.
Yeah, so, like, Molly runs away. She does this whole I don't have eyes, and she puts the phone down there. I'll try to run her down.
Yeah.
Then there's a scene of like her chasing her around the house.
Yeah.
Yes, while Tootie talks to
Dr. Parker.
And this is where she's like, asks him about his
hurt. Yeah, first she's she has a bad back. And she's disappointed that he's an orthodontist. But she's like, wait, I'm Tootie. I'm a scammer. I'm going to get something out of this guy if I can. Because she, like, this first season, like, she gambles and teaches all the girls how to, like, lose at poker by making up her own rules and getting them to all like clear out their bank accounts.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah, so she's a scamster and so she's gonna get some free dental work.
But she's also
was a better doctor because like, she's like, my back hurts. And then he goes, well, are you on roller skates 24/7? Because that can really mess with your alignment.
Yeah.
Well, I am.
Exactly. That would have been so much better. But here's the thing is that also, Tootie, it's, you know, and we were talking about this on the last podcast, is that this show is clearly written by like 40-year-old white dudes for little girls.
Mm-hmm. Because,
and some very clear.
Because they clearly like keep putting these weird old man jokes into Tootie's mouth, right?
Yeah.
Because
into all their mouths.
But mostly Tootie, where like when the flood happened, she's like, tell him I'm taking a long shower.
Old men take long showers?
Yeah, that's something that old men do. And then when she's like, when Natalie's worried about being adopted.
It's something that 10-year-old girls do.
Yeah, but it's also something that like when Natalie's worried, you know, talks about how, you know, confronting the fact that she's adopted, she's like, oh my God, I could have been insulting you this whole time because I was always telling that Polish joke. And now she has a band, like her sciatica is working on.
Yeah,
it's the weirdest thing. It's like, oh, I got this pain in my back.
They are making her an old man. I didn't realize it.
Fourth grade.
Exactly.
So, and also we get some 2D teeth continuity, because not only does she try to show her overbite to Dr. Parker over the phone, but 2D will get braces next season, and she will have them for six goddamn years.
Wow.
Six?
Oof.
Yeah.
That's rough. Wait, did Kim Fields have braces?
Yeah,
what was happening?
That's why.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, what's happening?
I was like, it doesn't have to be.
Okay. 6 years, though?
That's so long. It might have been like 5 years, but it was like half a season two all the way to like half a season six or seven.
The most successful pocket probably is when she has braces the whole time.
Whoa. Yeah. And Mrs. Garrett has chased Molly around the building and back door, and officially... this episode has more running now
than the last one.
Last week's episode, which was called Running, and was about racing.
Okay.
Yeah.
But they never went outdoors, so we never saw any
running.
Yeah,
kept running into the into the house like, huh.
Oh, we've been running. Oh, wow. They're so tired, all this
running.
We were
just running.
Damn.
So, anyway, apparently Dr. Parker is on his way to pick up Molly, and Mrs. Garrett will relay this message to
her. But when she chases her, she gets back on the phone, she can't lie again, but she smoothly goes, I couldn't run her down.
Yes. And,
Cindy and Nancy go up to talk to, because Molly disappears upstairs, refusing to talk to her dad. Cindy and Nancy go up to talk to her, because it's the only thing that they do in this episode.
Yeah, but for some reason we also get the information that her dad was calling from a gas station 10 minutes away in Peekskill. It's like, just get there.
Yeah.
Like, why are you pulling over to be like, I'm coming again?
I'm coming!
I think that's something people did, though, in the early
to alert days, people?
Yeah, I think it was, like, if you pulled over to get gas, you don't know when exactly he left or how long it takes. It's just, heads up, get your stuff ready, make sure your luggage is ready.
Yeah.
I'm 10 minutes away. So, get Blair to pack your luggage.
Yeah.
We did actually gloss over something that was, like, the only bit of plot, which was just that Mrs. Garrett asked Molly what was going on, and she gave a response I couldn't understand. I actually backed it up several times.
Well, that was this one.
And then
was
Mrs. Garrett has to translate it back to her. And then
and she's
makes...
like, hold up. Let me see if I got this straight. And then she recounts it again, so that the audience... It's almost like she's a translator
for
Molly.
Audience.
So the audience is like going, wait, what did she say?
But and I then think Ms. the joke Garrett. Was she's like a hyper, like, emotional child.
Like,
who's
frantic.
Like, just frantically saying, my dad and my mom, they fought, and then they got divorced, and now he just wants to pick me up for the weekend, but I don't want to be with her for the weekend, and oh my god, this is just too much, I don't want to talk about it. And then, and then Ms. Garrett's like, let me
break
it. Yeah.
Well, the gist being, Molly's parents are splitting up. And we should get that out, because that's the only thing that's going on.
It's a BSC story, as usual.
Nope.
And so Cindy and Nancy offer to go upstairs and help her out. And I was like, what? They're still here?
Yeah, I thought they were supposed to be down at the curb.
Yeah, but apparently not yet. Cindy's apparently a recent expert on divorce, but Blair divorced James. I was like, please, I've been through this 3 times.
Because her mom is a whore.
Yes. Which for some reason gets like a big laugh.
Yeah.
Like, she's like, my parents have divorced 3 times. And then the audience is like, it was so weird.
Well, Blair's whole point of view, which does, they do, what's the word, subvert at the end, which I won't give away. But she's basically extolling all the virtues of being divorced, being a child of divorce, multiple gifts, multiple moms.
Multiple holidays.
Multiple orgasms.
And it's at this point that Mr. Bradley walks in.
Yep, wearing a cowboy outfit.
Because he's going to Hawaii.
Because he's going to Club Med in Hawaii, which doesn't exist.
So, yeah, it sounded fake. And then, so, remind me, he's principal?
He's the headmaster.
Okay.
But he's also the poetry teacher.
Okay.
And he's also the family tree.
Genealogy
teacher.
That's a teacher?
He's the, I know that was a class for some reason. They like literally said, I didn't want to take this class anyway. One of them,
and he's kind of sexually inappropriate with the girls.
Oh,
and like he's constantly like, go upstairs and change, but not in front of me. I mean, upstairs and change. I mean, don't change. What you're wearing is fine.
Oh my god!
Oh my god!
That's
these girls are like 12.
Yeah,
that's very bad. No, my only impression of him was just like. He's like, well, I would rather be anywhere else than here, so hope you don't all die. Like, he's
deuces,
not
I'm out.
All invested, so I'm like, I don't understand why he's been brought in.
It's also strange because, like, he's the headmaster of the school. The school has probably thousands of students, yet
he's always here.
Ms. Garrett's like, just so you know, bye.
Yeah.
So weird. Fair so bad. He says he's had enough of teachers and concerned parents and students, but he said teachers, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think there are any teachers at the school.
Well, they certainly got rid of Miss Mahoney really quick.
And what was she? Wasn't even a teacher.
She was. She's a biology teacher.
Oh, she was. That's right. Yeah. She was. I forgot.
She already got purged, Miss Mahoney.
Yeah,
she made it three episodes.
More characters.
Oh, they're ruthless.
Yes,
they really are.
And he says he's going to Club Med, right?
Because Mrs. Garrett tells him he looks like the head.
Hold on. He says, it'll be nice to have some me time, but there will be some adult women there.
Grown up women.
Which is a grosser way of saying gross. Adult. Yeah. Grown up. Because he knows that these girls aren't grown up.
So I won't have to fuck these girls. There'll be some grown up women for
that's
me.
That's disgusting. He doesn't even have to acknowledge them. Just pack your luggage and go.
Yeah.
Like, why does it have to be part of it?
Yeah.
That's and horrible.
He's also holding luggage in this scene, by the way.
Of course, more luggage.
He has how because that holds a Speedo.
Yeah, exactly. Ugh. And he asks, I don't know.
How do I look?
I'm guessing one of you wrote the quote down, but he asks, how do I look? And then Mrs. Garrett makes a joke, which I think is supposed to justify his weird look.
Yeah. She goes, you look like a headmaster at a Frontier singles bar.
Yes.
Which is so specific. Why would they write that and dress to that?
Yeah.
What is that about?
Yeah, I would love to see the first try on the costume designer. Like they like, tone it down.
Here's the thing. As I said before, it seems as though the costume department blew their wad on Tootie's jewelry. And so they were like, shit, all we have is this cowboy outfit.
That John Lawler walked to set in today.
And we're like, that's what we're going to go. But you know what? We're not going to change the Club Med thing. We're not going to change the Hawaii thing. Let's just have him go in that to Hawaii. They could have just rewritten it and been like, I'm going to go to a dude ranch or whatever. Yeah. If they're not going to put him in like a Hawaiian shirt and a leg.
I think you're missing the intellectual humorization of this outfit, which is that... Oh, this doesn't make sense, so therefore it's funny.
Ah, yes.
Like, if you start saying, to a dude ranch, well, then it's like, well, that's not funny.
I just don't get why they're jokes. Like, why do the jokes require so much thought? It's just a sitcom.
You want to know why they require so much thought? It's because zero thought went into them.
Yeah, right? They make so little sense that they make you think.
Yeah, you're just trying to find sense. It's not there.
And he goes, perfect, just the look I was going for.
Yeah. And then Mrs. Garrett urges him to stay because Molly's having a crisis. Mm-hmm. But, like, when has Mr. Bradley helped in a crisis ever?
Never.
He's made everything worse every single time, systematically, except for maybe that time that they were going to drown.
Yeah, the flood.
That's it.
Yeah.
And even then, he broke his ankle and Blair had to be his human crutch.
Is he wrong, though, here, is the question I had, which is that, like, you know, he's like, the dad's on his way. This is a family.
No, he's right.
Business. He's right.
This is a family issue. This is a school. Let them deal with it. So I wasn't like, oh, Mr. Bradley. I was kind of like, oh, Mr. Bradley, I can see your point here.
But he did seem a little bit too anxious to, like, go on his vacation.
He's still
a dickhead, no matter what.
But in this one instance, I was like, that actually makes sense.
And then
Carol should stay out of this.
Yeah.
But then he pinches her cheek and calls her a nosy mother hen.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. And then she's like, how can you run out on her?
She screams it.
I literally wrote it in all caps.
Yeah, so did I.
Oh, God.
We're turning into the same person, Dominic.
It was so bizarre.
And here's the thing.
Does she still think he's beautiful now?
Oh no.
At the end of last episode, Mr. Bradley had lied to Sue Ann and Cindy, telling them that they're... running times were better than each other so that they would compete against each other, and it destroyed their friendship, and he at the end admitted that he did this, and she
went, apropos of nothing, Mr. Garrett goes,
no,
Mr.
Garrett.
Bradley, I think you're beautiful. It's another weird moment.
Wait, is it a romance plot or was
no.
it just like
no.
Oh,
it was just like you're being a I see your
there's
inner
there's like 400
beauty.
Years oh, between the two
like,
of them.
I see you, Mr. Bradley. I see you apologizing.
Yeah, you're
beautiful.
That's all it takes to be beautiful. Also, wait, Mrs. Garrett, is she married? What's happening?
Oh.
We met Mr. Garrett in episode 2.
He's the one that taught the little girls how to gamble and
it's
play poker.
It's true.
Yeah.
But well, you only taught Tootie and Tootie ran
and
with
later
it.
She will remarry.
Doesn't she get proposed to like three times?
She gets proposed to multiple times.
Oh.
She will marry.
I mean,
she actually has two sons. We only meet one.
Yeah, Miss Garrett eventually leaves the show. And Clarice Leachman replaces her.
Ooh, just for like one season.
Two seasons.
I think I remember those fakes.
It's actually think it's three? Yeah, no, it's two seasons. Two amazing seasons.
So, okay, so Mrs. Garrett yells and says, how can you run out on her? And he's like, I really don't give a shit. I you know, planes, I'm going to miss my plane.
I got to get these cowboy boots on that sand.
Yeah, exactly. These boots are made for walking and surfing, whatever. And so he, like, he leaves.
And people applaud.
People are like, oh, great, he's gone, and I think that's the end of the, oh, fuck, no, here comes Natalie. Why is she here now?
Well, I think they're okay that Natalie's here.
No, but
they were applauding, like, that he's going away.
They were applauding for the whole episode. They were applauding the fact that they thought that was the end of the scene.
It almost was.
Yeah, but then in comes Natalie.
The scene will never end.
Yeah. Wearing a horrible sweatshirt.
This is also the second bad episode in a row where the first scene takes place in the common room. And it goes on forever. And nothing needs to happen other than learning that Molly's dad is divorced from her mom and that she's upset about it and he's on his way. That's all we need to learn.
We have to justify why we're not giving any lines to three of the awfulest characters. Yeah. So that's partially what all the luggage is there for.
But I also think that the reason why Natalie comes in at this point is to showcase that terrible sweatshirt that's blue with the red tie painted on it.
Yeah.
Which makes her look like, because it's a kind of like look a like fat Lou tie. Grant. Yeah.
That's
anyway,
what I
she goes, Mrs. Garrett, did you hear the news?
Yeah, and Mrs. Garrett's like, about Molly's crisis, and she's like, scooped again.
No. Which is going to lead into what she becomes.
Exactly. That's
what
I thought.
She becomes a reporter.
It's true.
That's
she does become a reporter.
It's actually foreshadowing her character quite a bit. Mm. Yeah. They're smart over the writers of
Effect. Yeah.
I honestly think they were like, oh, wait, shit, we didn't write Natalie into this episode or this scene.
Shit.
We got to get everybody in this scene.
Anyway.
Throw her in.
So then they're up into the girls. Next scene is up in the girls' bedroom.
Yeah, and not to be the fashion police again,
but
Molly has changed out of her weird outfit.
And I enjoy this one a lot more.
Well, this is a premonition for who she's about to become. It's multiple shades of pink, and she looks very pretty.
Nice.
Yeah, you see where I'm going, guys, right?
I see you.
Yeah.
So why don't you say it for the studio audience?
I don't want to. I want them to get it. And also, the studio audience is Britt's husband, Peter.
Who's sitting silently in the back.
Shout out to Peter. Say hi, Peter.
Hi.
You'll be hearing more from Peter on our season finale with special guest Katie Walsh. I was going to say special guest Helen Hunt.
Then
I was like, wait, people are going to think Helen Hunt's on the podcast. Oh, yeah. And I was like, I got to fix this.
I'm on it too. Helen Hunt's coming?
I bet you could get Helen Hunt. I'm sure you know somebody who knows somebody who's. She's like, yeah.
I actually do know somebody who knows Helen Hunt.
We once went to see her perform improv with this person who knew her at like the oddest place at the back of a restaurant. This was only like 3 or 4 years ago. So she was Helen Hunt, yeah. And I was like Helen Hunt and four people you've never heard of doing improv for like 10 people for charity. And I was like, oh, they could do better.
You know, it's tomorrow. Do you think if there had been more lead time, maybe we could have gotten her?
I don't think so.
I'm going to put in some calls.
Was she doing improv like 3 years ago because she made that terrible movie about surfing?
No, it was just a charity thing that her and a couple of her fancy friends
did. She was
being
nice in defense of her. And
she was very funny. It was good.
Yeah, but it was like odd because...
It was odd because it was a very small room with a very small amount of people.
In the back of a restaurant.
And it was like, hi, Helen Hunt. You're making up some good jokes right there. 2 inches from me. It was just a weird moment.
Anyway, Molly's suffering upstairs. And all the girls, of course, have terrible advice.
Yeah, Nancy says she'll get used to having divorced parents.
And this is something that I remarked upon, is that as soon as these girls, like, you know, smell blood in the water, they immediately gang up on the weak one.
Yes.
So she's suffering, and Nancy's like, you'll just get used to it, which is kind of the most sane advice of all of these girls.
Yeah, and Blair goes on to say that Molly's mother's probably going to start dating rich older men, and they make great husbands because they can't be unfaithful because Viagra hasn't been invented yet.
Yeah, because how often can they cheat on you?
Oh, was that the joke? Yeah. I just thought the joke that they were like too tired to fuck.
I was with April on that. Oh. Yeah. I was with you.
I think it's
Tom could be right though.
I think it's a
hard dick joke. Horrible joke for a 14-year-old girl to make.
I think it's shrouded in the excuse of yes. you, of your but it's belief an in it.
But they're insinuating the fact that he can't old get, man his, can't get their dick hard. Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah, but and also, like, it's so weird the way Blair's like, old men are great. Like,
yeah, like, why really not?
Like, yes. She aspires. Like, Blair, you're 16, stop that.
Yeah, but yeah, here's the thing, is that, like, if they can't get their dick hard for, like, another woman, how often can they get their dick hard for you?
But that's why they're great. You don't have to
have you sex. You don't have to have sex with them. Yeah. They're just a human credit card.
Blair doesn't like having sex. The actress doesn't. She's born again.
Well, yeah, women of Blair's.
Well, Lisa Welchel opted out of the episode when Natalie lost her virginity. She was supposed to be the one to lose her virginity, and she said no, and she didn't even want to be in the episode where Natalie lost it to Snake. Shout out to Snake.
Looking forward to meeting the Snake.
Snake's great. Snake is like the Snuffleupagus of Facts of Life, because they talk about him a lot, and nobody believes he exists. And then one night, after it's like, I believe Natalie's like completely humiliated, and everybody's like, clearly there's no Snake. Then like Natalie comes home late at night, and there's Snake, and he's like, bye, babe. And that was like the first time we saw Snake, and then we see him regularly.
Snuffy existed.
Yeah, but for a long time,
people thought they were.
They thought Big Bird was crazy.
Oh, yeah. I think I'm a little too young for those years of Sesame Street.
Wow, she just called us old. Maybe she'll marry us. A sexless husband. Sorry, Peter.
Peter's her sex husband.
Yeah. He would be her sexless husband. We're the credit, giving the credit cards.
Yeah, yeah, that's
honestly,
right.
was a bum deal.
So Blair says her mom will start dating older men, and Cindy says, well, your dad will start dating someone her age, and they can share clothes.
That's Cindy. A thought. Yeah. So Sue Ann's not sympathetic at all. She's like, oh, how awful. I'd rather die than have divorced parents.
My parents would never get divorced.
They never say it, but she's taking the conservative approach, which is, you know, probably not dated yet in 1980, where she's like, people don't get divorced.
Yeah.
You stay together.
Well, Blair was saying that, you know, half of today's marriages,
which I found interesting. I was like, wow, even back then, that's I would have thought it would be around 70%.
Well, no, hold on.
Stay together.
Let's back it up for 1 second. So Blair says, no one gets divorced in Kansas because they can't decide who gets custody of the cow.
I was so ready for Blair to make a cow joke at Sue Ann's expense.
Boom,
she heard the cow, Sue Ann.
And then
it didn't happen.
And then Natalie chimes in, and what does she say?
She sounds like you make a burger and split it.
They make one
but her
burger.
Sweet little face, like it really, she really seemed genuinely like a big burger.
Yeah, but like answer. She seemed very sweet about it. Like it wasn't like, sweet. Oh, I could just make a burger.
That's because she liked that joke.
Solution.
Yeah.
She was like,
I'm coming up with a solution.
Yeah,
here.
That's how it felt.
If people really want a divorce in Kansas and they can't decide what to do with the cow, let's just slaughter it, make it into food, and then we can split it.
But then people are like, did the giant floating tie say something? No? Okay, never mind. They completely ignored that awesome suggestion. That should at least be on the table for a minute.
The audience is like audibly confused when there is a joke that's intelligible. They're like, what? That's what happened here. It was like, that sounded like a joke.
So Sue Ann and Blair are bickering about what normal marriage is like. Normal, like, you know, most marriages end in divorce.
50% in 1980.
Yeah. But she says, you know, it's a great thing. You get guilt presents, blah, blah. And then Molly's like, gets really psyched. She's like, guilt presents?
Yeah, she was into that.
Molly's defense, like, that's a child's response.
Sure, sure. Child. But then, you know, Sue Ann's like, nice people stay together. And then Blair just goes, who taught you that? Your mommy and daddy? It's the weirdest, like, joke-free but full of nastiness. See?
She's just like, you have parents who love you.
Ew.
Very, like, which is, you call her earnest at some point?
Yeah, it's like, but you need to learn about how the real world is.
I'm like, she's so jaded.
When did they tell you that? When you were down having lunch at Miller's Pond?
Exactly.
And then this leads so Sue Ann to mime with a fake watch on her wrist.
Oh, yeah. I did check for a watch. I zoomed in on my phone. I was like, this bitch is not wearing a watch. It drove me crazy.
It's 11 o'clock. Do you know where your mommy is?
Yeah.
Because the go-to is to call Blair's mom a whore.
Yep.
They've done it in almost every episode.
But Blair's also doing it, but in a much more isn't this kind of acceptable way.
Yeah.
But later, like I said, they we do get a peek into Blair's soul. Later.
Yes, we do.
Yeah.
Yes, and so Blair almost has a good comeback. She goes, why don't I take some of that mom's apple pie and And she's like, why didn't the writers give me something else
literally
to say?
Anything else. Like, but it's like the New York, like, you can take the Empire State Building, or what is that what it was? Or the Statue of Liberty?
It was, you could take New York City. You know what you can do? You could take New York City and... Yep.
The whole city?
And, like, apple pie and...
Yeah, and but then Sue-Ann goes, why don't you just try? It was the best.
I want them to get into a fist fight. It's like, cut the shit, hit her or don't.
Oh, yeah. That actually happened last week.
Yeah. And not them. That sounds good. Like, Sydney and Sue-Ann are supposed to be running. They get tricked by Mr. Ballard.
And then Sue-Ann accidentally punches Blair in the eye and gives her a black eye.
Yeah.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Molly Ringwald is photographing it like it's a bum fight for, like, World Star. It's like the grossest, most like, oh God, what are you doing?
So Mrs. Garrett barges in and she's pleased they're comforting Molly so well.
Uh-huh.
She reminds Nancy and Cindy that their time is up.
They'll miss their plane.
They got to get off the set immediately.
Yeah. Blair says to Molly, oh, it's okay to cry because you're not wearing mascara.
Mm. And Cindy gives Molly...
We're like 40% at a joke. Maybe that's too high, actually. It's like 20%.
Yeah, 25, I'll give it.
Yeah.
So Cindy says to Molly, with this weird lesbian glint in her eye, she clearly goes, you should spend spring break with me.
Yeah.
And Molly's, and Mrs. Garrett's like, no. That won't work. And you could just tell that Molly, off camera, like, mouthed a subtle thank you to Mrs. Garrett. And Mrs. Garrett tries to comfort Molly. And Blair tells her the mascara thing, which was just
stupid.
So bad. And Cindy sticks her head in and tells Mrs. Garrett that she's got to move her fanny.
Yeah.
So we got our obligatory Mrs. Garrett's ass reference in there. Mrs. Garrett wants her ass referenced in every single episode.
We haven't referenced it in a while. This might have been the first one.
In like two episodes, but that's only because we put in the shot of her ass getting slapped in the credits to cover the fact. So they're all covered.
Okay. Wow. That's insurance, yeah.
Yes. And so...
Meanwhile, by the way, the music that they use between scenes and when we see the exteriors, which I've referenced before... They've leaned into it, and it's like haunted circus music.
Yeah,
like that's what they've decided. They've taken a riff from the song and turned it into like the creepiest carnival.
They played it on a haunted music box. They're like, is there a music box with any souls trapped in it that can play the song for us?
Wait, also, did we miss the Norman Rockwell painting comment? Because I didn't note that. That was another one. Like, no 16-year-old knows about art.
Especially not Norman Rockwell.
She's like, look at your, like, American idealism. Like, she wouldn't know that. Why is that in the show? I don't understand.
A good point. Sue-Ann tries to rub salt in the wound by saying, apropos of nothing, it's so sad when love ends.
What does Blair say?
Fuck yourself.
What does Blair say to that?
It's not so sad when alimony begins.
Oh, yeah.
Because
she's so jaded.
She's such a jaded 16-year-old.
She knows about all this. She knows about child support. She knows about alimony. Poor thing.
And then
she has this story about how she had mono and apparently needed to use a bedpan during it.
Well,
she referenced how her bedpan was out of sight.
That's true.
Well, she was telling it sort of in that, like, an old-timey yarn.
Yeah,
like,
yarn.
I was lying in bed. I was, you know... I was lying in bed and there was I was in a gown and my bedpan was invisible or whatever. Yeah, it was a very long old lady way of telling a long, long-winded story or whatever.
Yeah. But the point is that when she was able to hide her poop, she was able to get her parents back together. And so
that's the big plan. That's what kicks off what essentially is the point of this episode is we're going to make Molly sick.
Yeah.
And invite her mom down under the guise of her being sick. And then when dad shows up, because he's only 10 minutes away, and when mom shows up,
they'll get back together.
Yeah, they were going to have Molly pretend to have mononucleosis, but Tootie had an idea that was twice as good.
Stereonucleosis.
I hated that.
Yeah.
Because once again, why did an 11-year-old know the different types of audio inputs and outputs? It pissed me off so much.
Oh.
Skate away, Tootie. Now is not the time.
Okay, so now we move on to the next scene.
Down back in the common room where they're explaining their
there was another titty
joke.
Yeah. So this is where Blair says that the idea that this plan could work is as foolish as believing one of those ads in the back of Cosmo for breast enhancement. And Tootie actually cries when she finds out that that's not real.
Because it's like breast, it's like breast exercises to make your tits bigger. You know? But she referenced that last week, which is, I must increase my bust.
I know, but she didn't cry when Blair was raped. She didn't cry when Sue Ann died of anorexia. She's crying because the boob ads are fake.
Hey, listen, again, foreshadowing, Tootie is kind of a selfish character. She always was. Mm.
Yeah, and my point is that she's a fucking sociopath.
Yeah, Britt believes that season one Tootie is a sociopath.
That's season one Tootie. She's really mean.
But season two Tootie is a totally different thing, and season two...
Well, maybe all children are just selfish and crazy.
Because when I think about being 11, I really did just care about, like, my titties, if I was the most popular girl in school, like, what my outfit looked like, lip gloss. Like, end of list. Yeah.
Kind of it. Did you care about gambling and stealing all of your friends' money?
Well, I did care about, like, manipulation.
Okay.
In general.
And then
you
need money to get lip gloss.
I was always running a scam.
So it's a means to an end.
Did you have a collection of weird visors?
Okay, no, I did have a visor period, actually. There was a period where I used to wear only tennis outfits, even though I never played any sport. And it was like pink visor, pink skort, which is skirt and shorts, and like polo, pink polo. And I'd be like, I'm a tennis player. And like, my look for like 6 months in like 2001.
That's amazing. I bet you gave people like attitude.
Six months.
You're like, did you just play tennis? No.
Why would you ask dumb questions?
Literally, though. Yeah, why are you asking dumb questions?
Okay, I did have a visor period. We all do.
I did have a visor myself. Just the one, though.
Dominic pulled that with me one day. When I met Dominic, he was wearing a Blind Melon hat.
It was lemon heads.
Oh, yeah, the same thing. Wearing a lemon heads hat.
Just referenced fruit.
Yeah, and I was like, you like the lemon heads? He went, no. Indignant. And I was like, this guy's an asshole. I should spend the rest of my life
every day with this human.
Yeah. Okay, in my defense, I was unaware that I was wearing a Lemonheads hat at the time.
Did you think it was just for the candy?
No.
Or the band?
No, I knew I had a hat from the band. I just didn't even know I had a hat on. I was distracted.
Distracted? I didn't realize I had a hat on. I was just distracted.
There's more to the story, but maybe we'll hear about it later.
So, surprisingly now, the girls are letting in Mrs. Garrett on this plan where Molly's going to pretend to be
because
sick.
Because Molly sold her illness over the phone to her mom really well, and Tootie
but
has
they
her...
they do it off camera. That's like the most interesting scene.
Yeah, there was a thing that happened this episode.
And they're
and
all going
again,
on up. Oh my god, Molly did such a good job of play acting that she was sick. I was like, why aren't we seeing that? Yeah. Why are we seeing the aftermath when they're explaining it?
Because they couldn't afford another actress to play Molly's mom.
But they didn't need it.
The scenes
they have.
Yeah.
I was pissed. I was like, they stole Molly Ringwald of her moment.
Yeah.
And if she had that moment, maybe she would have survived the reckoning. Yeah. And she would have been on the show. But at the same time, then we would have lost Molly Ringwald in Pretty in Pink.
Yeah.
Used movies.
So Tootie says in her... in her signature catchphrase, which is not a catchphrase, it's just the sound.
It's what we call the catchphrase intonation.
Okay.
Which is, in this week she says, what is it?
She goes, it was a snow job.
Yeah, it was, she did a snow job. And previously, it's like we sort of want to like make a collection of supercut of these. Because she does this one in every episode. There's one of them is, and he's got a van. What? Like, that's her catchphrase, is going up a beat at the end.
Yeah.
And then
I wish her catchphrase. I made this point before. I wish that.
But it's like the subtext of all of this. Oh, damn.
Yeah.
So, like, I get it. Like, that's what she's trying to do. But she's a little kid, like, probably being told how to say that.
Yeah, that's what I'm more interested in.
Because isn't her
catchphrase
like,
white producers going through those, like,
yeah, that's what I want to see. Is they're like, so then you're going to go with shoulders.
Yeah, exactly. Like, can you just make it a little more sassy, little girl?
Yeah.
Maybe put up one finger and turn it in a circle.
That's not good.
So then Blair said she always knew it was a bad idea, but the Midwest meddler got involved.
Yes, well, I mean, I guess that's better than calling Sue Ann fat.
That she's meddlesome.
Yeah. Why shouldn't say the girl with the happy family got involved?
And Sue Ann very dramatically tells Blair to go suck a haystack. Because, I guess, Kansas?
Yeah.
I'm from Kansas, so that's my reference
point. But she delivers that line better than she's delivered probably any line that's ever been said by her, I have to think.
Yeah.
Oh, she can't deliver lines.
But she says it with vitriol.
So then they beg Mrs. Garrett to not squeal, and she's like, all right, fine. And then Tootie says...
I know 10 minutes ago I said I'd never lie, but now it makes sense.
Yeah, exactly. So then Tootie rolls over to the door and says that there's a... Did she say it's a snappily dressed man coming? Or snazzy? What did she say? She says there's a...
But the way she sets it up, I do think that like a guy in his 20s who's like, you know, a stockbroker in the 80s is like walking up in slow motion.
Yeah.
She's like, oh... Yeah,
you know, hair slicked back like a leather jacket.
She says, "Snappy looking dude."
Mm-hmm. Snappy looking dude.
Snappy looking dude coming up the driveway.
And Molly's like, "Well, that can't be my dad."
My dad dresses like a dentist.
And then she's like, "Did she drive? Does he drive a Ford or something?"
No,
like,
a Dodge Dart.
Yeah,
and then Mrs. Garrett says, "No, it's a silver Porsche."
Mrs. Garrett literally gets wet on the word silver Porsche.
That's an ongoing thing too. Is like Miss Garrett the lines that should not have them. Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of underlying in you.
It's like, I'm
going to
make pot.
Exactly.
And I'm like, oh, but scary. No.
So then Dr. Parker comes in, and we can see where the rest of the wardrobe budget went.
Yeah.
It was to...
His mustard yellow turtleneck.
He looks
and
so not like a dude. Like, he looks like an old man he's wearing a quarter,
suede jacket.
Brown jacket and a yellow mustard turtleneck.
And those
giant glasses.
Those pedophile wireframe glasses.
That was the vibe I was truly getting from this book, was just like, get in my car. But like, the vibe of the character was like, I'm trying my best. It just like didn't...
I'm trying my best!
Yeah, he's like, I'm trying to be your dad, but it just didn't, like, the look did not. It, really
it didn't gel at all. And the gold chain over the turtleneck is maybe the worst look I've ever not thought of before.
And he makes some he makes a lame joke about he got all the gold from clients because
he repossessed them because they didn't pay.
They were fillings that he repossessed.
Yeah,
which is really creepy and gross.
It's so gross to think about fillings around.
I'm pretty certain there's a movie with Ashley Judd and Morgan Freeman where that's like what the killer does.
So speaking of, I once was at a party quite a long time ago, and there was this weird dude who was there who was hitting on me, and it might have been his birthday party, I can't remember, but he was like, I was talking to him, whatever, and I was like, God, look at your cufflinks, and he's like, oh yeah, these, I had my wisdom teeth removed, and these are my teeth.
What the fuck?
How long did you date him?
She's married to him now.
Like the guy in The Great Gatsby, Meyer Wolfshine.
Yeah,
that's really creepy.
I know.
How did you get out of that conversation?
I didn't.
He asked to keep his teeth because I've had my wisdom teeth, obviously, and I was like, I want to see it, but you have to be like, can you clean it off and give it to me?
Yeah, I want to wear these.
And then the dentist was like, yeah, for sure, and they did.
Yeah,
like that's what.
And they were really big.
And then he took
they're
it to a
so big.
Yeah. They're like this big, and that's he's like, and then he took it to a jeweler, and he's like, hey, can you make these into something I can wear? He's like. Earrings? No. Cufflinks. I want to look classy with these babies on.
I'm just disturbed at how many people had to say yes for this very moment to happen. Uh-huh.
Well, so I'm glad I just remembered that.
Like, three different people. More of it.
But
then a plot point kicks in because she doesn't want to hug her dad.
Mm-mm.
But he's insisted. He's like, but no.
Can you hug your daddy?
Yeah, hug daddy.
But they also, Mrs. Garrett tells Molly to introduce... him to all of her friends, and normally we get a one by one introduction that lasts 7 minutes
every because time. So many girls.
Every time a new character walks in the room, but this time they learned their lesson. Is that these are my friends? He went hi, friends, and they all went hi, and it was all one swift motion.
Yeah. I was expecting like the Mickey Mouse Club version where. There's my friend Natalie, she like pops up from behind the couch. She's like, hey there, mister. And then she's like, and there's my friend Tootie, she rolls through the room.
I'm the one on wheels.
Yeah. Well, but here's the thing, is that Mrs. Garrett, you know, she's actually, you know, in on the thing. So she's like, I'm going to make you a cup of coffee.
Yes, because as Natalie says, if you can't stand the heat, go into the kitchen.
Yeah. So
I appreciated that Natalie understood that line. Like,
yeah.
I feel Natalie versus the other actresses, particularly the ones that left, took the time to try to figure out what the fuck she was saying.
Mm-hmm.
Not just the words, but what it meant.
Yes.
So,
and that she took the pains to understand that that's a phrase. You know, if you can't stand the heat, get out of the kitchen. But she's like, here's a real smirk.
Look, I did a spin on it, because you could tell because I accented the right word. Unlike half of these girls that don't even know what accenting is. Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't seem like a lot to ask for, but clearly.
But it is.
Clearly
it is. When you get seven girls that can't act all in the same room, it's hard to watch. Anyway, so Mr. Parker wants to go, but Natalie almost spills the beans. But any minute, your wife, and then stops. This should have been enough to alert him.
No.
But no, just like the screaming didn't on the phone. He's just completely unaware of everything that's going on. Blair, who has no horse in this race, not even spectacular bid, proves she's a good friend by coming up with a conversation starter, which I thought was nice. She apparently has always been fascinated by orthodontia.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even know that's what the practice was called.
Yeah. I was surprised, too.
I had the same reaction.
Too.
I was like, oh.
Yeah.
Well, like, yeah. Now I know.
And it's probably because she's never needed any. And
flash her teeth. Smile. But at least she's smart enough to flash her teeth to the dentist in front of her.
Yes.
And not the, on the phone.
That's right. I wrote, wouldn't this be a better time to show him your overbite, Tootie?
Yeah, I just feel like no one directed this. Like, it's like they all just showed up and were just giving lines as they felt.
Yes, I mean, which is why they didn't have any jokes in this episode.
It really felt...
Like, this show also, like, hands-on. At this point, was not a hit. It wasn't doing well. Nobody cared about it. There's no reason the show should have been brought back with a whole new cast whatsoever. I mean, it's very telling. Like, at this point, they were clearly like, enough, we don't care, just get to the end.
We just need to get these done, we just need
get
to
get them done, yeah. And we'll send Miss Garrett back to Different Strokes where she belongs, which is why I think she's going to New York City, which I didn't mention earlier, that's probably the subtext, is we'll both go to New York City, and we'll stay at the Drummond's house.
Yeah,
and
we'll do a spin-off be on episode. That show. Yeah.
I'll take you with me, Tootie.
Yeah, because everyone loves Tootie. Yeah. That's the thing.
And Mr. Drummond loves adapting African-American children, even though that Tootie has a family.
But he's like, whatever, more the merrier.
Adapting or adopting? Because they're two different things.
Yeah, but also adapting. I'm going to make you white. That's what's different. My experience of watching Different Strokes.
I'm going to make you white.
Yeah, like, didn't he make them do, like, he made them do, like, white people sports and stuff.
Like fencing?
Yeah, yeah. Like
tennis?
Yeah. It's like, I don't think he appreciates it.
Yeah, like tennis. Which you were like, I just like the look. I don't like the sport.
Yeah, I'm not going
to
sweat.
They're all at the visor store getting psyched, and then they're like, wait, I don't have to play tennis, do I? So suddenly the doorbell rings.
Ooh, is it Molly's mom?
Oh, I'm sure it is.
Oh, it must be.
Mrs. Garrett sure thinks it is. I wonder who that could be.
Yeah.
And
your impression isn't as good as mine.
No, my impression's terrible.
Yeah, okay.
It is not Mrs. Parker, but it's actually Angela.
Heavily permed.
Oh, wow. Miss Frizzhead.
Yes, coming fresh from Miss Mahoney's School of Beauty. Miss Mahoney was a character that we lost four episodes in that had the same exact hairstyle. Well,
much worse. Just a worse version of...
Tight.
Yeah.
It looked like they took the perm rods out seconds before
they set her out. Yeah.
It was just real
get on set!
Yeah.
And this is real poor form on the dad's part.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like, this is when you introduce your side piece? Like, it's like, it's very
strange. Hey, it's not a side piece.
This is a special friend.
Like, as a kid in divorce, I've got the friend thing, and I was always just like, that's your girlfriend. Cut the shit. Like, don't do the friend. Like, that's not. Why is she giving me a gift?
Yeah,
so you're a good point. She brings another gift, and Molly has not opened either of these gifts.
Yeah.
And never will. Like, why? Like, you have nothing in this episode. At least, let's see what's in the box. Like,
it's kind of Paltrow's head.
Plot. You're like, please.
What's in the box?
Yeah. But here's the thing, is that Blair, when she gives her the present, Blair just goes...
Yes.
Because...
For those of you who can't see Britt, she held up
I always forget the fact that this isn't a visual podcast.
And mouthed the word two.
Yeah. Because Blair had pointed out the fact that they're going to get multiple guilt presents or whatever, and she's an avaricious cunt. So she's always like, oh.
Avaricious, wow. Good word.
It's in the book. So Angela is acutely aware of the awkwardness surrounding her.
And she says, we're going to have lots of fun, just the three of us. And
And then Mrs. Garrett gives us our bloat of the scene by Molly. Literally sipping some tea and going, yeah. And say it.
Molly's mother makes four.
The drama.
Yeah.
Well, before this, Miss Frizzhead has lines that are really, A, inappropriate, and B, like, shows, like, how poorly her Molly's dad has thought of this plan. Because she comes in and she's like, who are you? And then Molly's like, who are you? And she's like, you didn't talk about me?
No,
she's
that's
like,
later.
Oh, that's later? That's okay, the next scene. Hold off on
that. Yeah, so now we come back.
Yeah.
Okay,
now it's the scene.
Okay, now it's the scene.
Okay, so we're back.
No, but there's a
lot of stuff before that. So we cut back from the commercial break and we start with what couldn't have been a smarter way to open a scene, which is all of the girls awkwardly staring at Molly, Dr. Parker, and Angela, who are awkwardly staring at each other. Everyone is silent. There's 17 people on the set.
Not doing anything, aside from looking at one another.
Doing nothing. And then that bitch Angela breaks the ice by saying she's heard so much about Molly. And that's when Molly retorts, she's never heard a thing about Angela, which stumps Angela.
Yeah, Angela gets pissed off.
Yeah,
to the
dad and says, why didn't you talk to her about me? But she's coming to meet her for the first time. You'd think this would be a conversation they would have had before they come inside. Like, I'm gonna bring you to the school. You're gonna meet my daughter. By the way, she doesn't know anything about you.
And also, like, why didn't they get out of the car together? Like, it was like a reveal. Like, he was part of it by being like, I'm here, and now for a special guest, this woman who is not
a
your
stranger.
Mother. Yeah,
it's and a who, very good.
Her
point.
Tight perm rods were just taken out.
That's why she was late.
That's why
they didn't
come in the car pulling them out.
Yeah,
they need to be fresh for when I meet Molly.
When I fuck up this little girl's life.
But also that did ring true as far as just like divorced dads not knowing what the fuck to do. They're like, I don't know, this is my girlfriend, here's $100. Is that how much you need for lunch? Just like anything.
How much
like
does a banana
that
cost? $10?
Yeah, it was always that. So that did feel right, just like him being a fuck up start to finish.
I'm already doubting Miss Frizzhead because she's like causing more negative energy into the scene, and I'm like, girl, like, there's an 11-year-old Molly here. Like, just keep it inside.
Yeah,
like,
deal with that later.
Yeah, deal with that later.
She's like, so you're embarrassed of me? Like, we're having that conversation now?
I wrote, I don't think that Angela and Dr. Parker are going to last.
Well, you know who's not going to last? Molly Ringwald on this show. So yeah. We're never going to find out.
That is true. So Mrs. Garrett tries to entice the girls away from staring at the Parker problem with some cocoa, but it doesn't work. They just stand there and still stare. And finally she says, come on, girls, fill up your mugs. Which, it's...
Wait, I missed that.
It's in such a sinister way. It makes me feel like, at one point, it might have been slang for something. Oh, like, a mug is like, that's your face? Like, show me that mug.
No, mug is, yeah, like, oh, what a beautiful mug.
Yeah, so, like, fill up those mugs with cocoa.
Very odd.
It was just, it was very weird. So then alone, Angela again tries to make excuses about the meeting, saying that it was her idea.
Mm-hmm. But Molly flips out.
Yeah.
And she runs upstairs.
Well, she's like, fuck you guys, I was happy, and I don't care about your happiness.
Mm-hmm.
You should stay together for me.
Mm-hmm.
Destroy your life. Mm-hmm. I don't know, I couldn't make it out. She was Molly, so it's hard to understand what she was saying. But she says that her father was selfish and hates him, and then she runs upstairs. And if only Mr. Bradley were here to make everything better, I feel like he could really solve this one.
But Miss Frizzhead, by giving them a pamphlet?
Miss Frizzhead
has the blow to this scene, if I remember correctly. She's like, see, you should have told her about me.
Well, yeah.
And I was like, whoa.
That's not
step back.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you should have brought me up before. Yeah, I can't believe you're embarrassed about me.
I feel like, but this was your idea, and then, like, you're giving so many mixed signals, Angela.
No,
I just feel like,
but then
go
Mrs.
home, Angela.
Mrs. Garrett comforts Dr. Parker by saying, you know, she'll get used to the idea eventually about this divorce.
Yes, and Dr. Parker, who is a doctor, is like, I'd have thought she'd have gotten used to it by now. Like,
she's 10.
Yeah. She's a little girl. And, like, this is brand new.
Mr. Brown,
she's just saw your Dodge Dart is gone 8 seconds ago.
And you have a fucking silver ball?
And gold fillings around your neck.
You're suddenly changed. Like, everything's different.
Yeah.
And so Blair takes this moment to rub it in. Mm-hmm. And, like, what happens when Godot Parker gets here? I'm just assuming that that's Molly's mom's name. As Blair calls Sue Ann Miss Fix-It, which is pretty nice for a comment about Sue Ann. But Blair's sad because suddenly this doesn't feel good to be right.
Yeah, for the first time, it doesn't feel good to be right.
Yes.
A little bit.
She has a lot of firsts upstairs. Later, she'll also have a first.
Yes, right. That's true.
Almost feeling envy.
She's growing during this episode.
She is, rapidly. So we get a new scene, and oh God, Molly's got her guitar again.
She's singing.
This is so problematic. Yeah. I mean, like, she has a guitar, she strums
one note.
She strums one note, and it's like, it's barely a note. And then she sings. For like what? Like I'd say 5 lines of dialogue. Like,
4.
Yeah, I've got them.
Of course you do.
Yeah. Let's
do
it.
It's fathers.
Hold on, let me set you up.
Yeah.
Fathers can't be trusted. My heart feels like it's busted. Boy, am I disgusted. I've got a right to sing the blues.
Yeah. Like any normal white girl.
Audience genuinely horrific.
Oh,
like
yeah.
Crazy.
Huge applause.
That was a surprise to me that it was a blues song at the end. There was no indication that we were doing the blues.
You're right. It started with a guitar. That's just like, to clarify, the genre is the blues.
Yeah. But
it's
also
very bad.
It was also exactly like her last song.
Yeah,
it's exactly like her last song.
Well, she does this.
This is her thing because she wants to be the '80s Joan Baez.
Oh, yes. Okay.
And just like Joan Baez, all her songs sound the same.
Yeah.
And not very good.
I mean, it could have been interesting because like she has been preaching kind of like female. Whenever the girls are talking about their bodies and all this stuff in the other episodes,
I don't let magazines tell me how to look.
She's preaching like female empowerment and like self assuredness, and she's like. Plays guitar and she takes pictures and like, oh, okay, I'm into this character. And that could have been a nice spin on her take on divorce. No, let's just like go right, let's throw the character out and go right to all the obvious cliches we can about divorce. Like, I don't care if they're happy. I want them together.
Yeah.
So I was thinking about how like Cindy, last week's episode, did backflips.
Yeah.
She did a bunch of lines while jumping rope angrily. Mm-hmm. She never got any applause. Molly does this shit, and she gets applause. Cindy's right now, like, in the bus station waiting for Nancy to be done fucking Roger in the bathroom. Mm-hmm. Like, where's Cindy's applause? I just feel bad.
They applauded her backflip.
The backflip got applause.
Did it?
Yeah.
Well, no, the backflip got applause from the cast.
No,
I
remember,
it got the audience.
I remember Sue Ann doing that weird condescending side clap thing.
Oh, that's my favorite.
That, like, mainly, like, told the audience, you better clap for this.
That's my favorite thing, actually. It's not only the applause, but also during the Olympics, when female gymnasts and female ice skaters, they do this sort of fake
We can't
hug.
See you.
No, but they do this, like, weird, like, fake hug where they barely touch
that's
one
true.
Another.
It's very, it's a wide.
It's this passive-aggressive girl thing where it's like, yeah, good job.
So, but Mrs. Garrett was totally moved by this song. She's like, sing it, girl. Let it all out. It's amazing. She was really feeling it. And Molly calls Angela a sneaky frizzhead, which I was so glad she enunciated that.
Mm-hmm.
That made me very happy that I heard sneaky frizzhead.
She's going to ruin my parents getting back together. And then Blair and Mrs. Garrett, confront Molly.
Yeah, they force her to recall some childhood traumas.
About how, you know, her parents argued all the time.
Yeah, she recalls some inoffensive conversation about how her dad worked late and the mom ruined dinner. And
That's impossible for you to ruin dinner, for me to ruin dinner, because you cooked it.
Yeah, it's like...
Ugh. It's more like grass,
problem.
Yeah, like garden variety sexism.
Like, yeah, like you really got divorced because she can't make pot roast? Is that really the fight? It's always that fight. Like, God damn it, Martha, again?
You burned the pot roast.
That's why you got divorced? You can talk that out, my God. You can get some catering.
But also, like, I mean, we've all cooked for people who work late, and all you have to do is, like, cook it to a certain extent and then be, like, ready to pop it in the oven. You could be courteous.
Well, he's not courteous because he probably doesn't let her know when he's working late.
And said, hey, I'm going to be too
late. But Molly says he always worked late because he's a workaholic.
That's how she
over-enunciates. That's what my mom called him.
And she's missing like, the right side of her, of her front and lower teeth. So, and I
stitch
feature
to it too? Yes. Yeah. Airy.
You look like you're having a stroke. I can't even look at you right now. That's horrible.
And then Blair's like, so what? Then they like go into the other room and fight? And then she's like, no, they got pretty good at doing it right in front of me. And Blair's like, oh yeah.
I know all about that.
Blair has a much juicier example in the argument about the food. So Blair's like, oh, sweetie, did you cut up all my credit cards? Well, I accidentally dropped your favorite sweater down the garbage disposal. Like, I thought that was fucked
very
up.
Very specific.
I liked that moment.
Yeah, it felt lived in.
Yeah,
it did. It felt real.
She's really been through some shit. Like, at the end of the day, she's a huge bitch, but, like, she's been through some shit.
Yeah.
then Blair, she brings her home.
But, yeah, that's but right before
that.
Mrs.
Garrett.
So Mrs. Garrett says,
she says that there's this game called Staying Together for the Kids. And
that's that terrible game called Staying Together for the Kids.
Yeah, Molly wants her parents to play it, but it's a terrible game, and everyone loses.
And then, yeah, as Grant was saying, it's like Blair brings up a genuinely depressing thing. About her family.
About she kneels down. She looks Molly straight in her haircut, bowl haircut.
Because you can't look her straight in the eye with that haircut.
And she basically says, like, hey, downstairs, when your dad came in, he really genuinely wanted you to hug him, and he was trying. And she's like, I have a few dads, and none of them have ever showed me that much interest in love. And I'm like, whoa, interesting. Yeah. She really brought it. She was like, my parents don't love me as much as your parents.
Yes, she's like,
and she says, I've never felt envy before, and I almost felt it.
She's like, I've got a dad, I've got my dad, and I've had two other stepdads, and none of the interest or love they've ever shown me is anything close to what your dad just showed you.
So
I
dark
was like,
at Blair's house.
Oh yeah, it's true.
I was like, that's rough.
And then character is consistent.
Yeah.
Like, always.
Not like Miss Garrett, who's like, I don't lie, but I do tell giant untruths.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's true.
So then Blair leaves Molly in the hands of relationship expert Mrs. Garrett, who reminds her that just because her parents are divorcing each other doesn't mean they're divorcing her.
Miss Garrett and Blair, though, before she leaves, share that moment that I like very much, which is like the more of the touching moment of the episode, where Blair gives a speech, she gets up, I'll leave you to the expert, and then she pats Miss Garrett on the shoulder as she leaves, and Miss Garrett does that thing where you, like, hold someone's hand for, like, a brief second on your shoulder, and it slowly gets pulled away as if to say, I hear you, I feel for you. And I'm like, wow.
I see.
Because that moment was written between two decent actors and not the writers of this show. It was nowhere near the script was that caress. In
I bet the director called cut. He was like, wait.
What was that?
What did you guys do there?
I didn't understand that. That's
why are my eyes wet?
Why is my face wet? What is this salty water?
Literally.
And then Nancy's in the corner and she's like, why am I?
Why do they put me through this torture? Why can't they just put me out of my misery and take me off this fucking show?
Ship her back to Warner Brothers. Yeah.
Brunette box. Why would you do this?
And Molly's like, I can't see you okay. I'll talk to my parents.
So Mrs. Garrett gives her like a whole like thing about how she's going to get used to it. And she actually uses the phrase, it gets better.
And then shithead Sue Ann comes
in. Nope, Cindy. No. Oh, no, you're right. It is Sue Ann, of course. Yeah, the Midwest, the Midwestern meddler.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
she hasn't gotten the hint. She's still on the track of, like, we're still going to do this ruse.
Yeah, she's like, I've got a plan. We're going to say, Angela's my sister. And I was like, oh she's the Mr. Bradley of this episode. Yeah. Oh, okay. And then Molly's all like, Sue Ann, don't be so Sue Ann. And then Sue Ann's like, okay.
I gotta go.
Because there's no stakes in this episode, and nothing matters at all. Alright, we're almost at the end.
Thank God. So the downstairs, they're all sitting awkwardly. Tootie's sitting on a table, like, showing off her skates and whatever, and she goes...
They're trying to make small talk with Dr. and Mrs. Parker.
8-year-olds need to make small talk with adults. She's like, so, you're Dr. Parker's dental hygienist.
Which was new information, and I'm like,
I was like,
she definitely cheated on the mom. That's why side piece was apropos, because that's what she started.
And Natalie makes a dig at that. She goes, must be fun, just the two of you with you and all that laughing gas.
That does sound like fun.
Yeah.
I mean, that sounds like fun.
But it also sounds like workplace harassment if it's, like, not consensual.
Well, I mean, there are a couple. She's meeting Molly. It was her idea. If it's not consensual, this woman gives the most mixed messages of all time.
No, she wants that to be her man. That's why she's mad he's not, like, claiming her. She's like, mm-hmm. You haven't been telling people we're in love. Yeah. Don't bring that here. We're busy.
Don't bring that here.
Like, come on.
And then Mrs. Garrett comes down with Sue Ann to say that Molly will be right down, and oh, no.
Who comes in?
Mr. Bradley's back.
Fuck!
Why?
And Mrs. Why? Garrett is just as disappointed and confused as we are.
It's like, Fred, why are you here?
Yeah, like angrily.
Yeah, just like,
why are you here?
Like, genuinely, why are
All
you here?
All he does, and I've noticed this is the pattern, which is, I mean, chauvinistic beyond, you know, levels I can explain, is that he comes in, he usually behaves in some encourageable manner,
yep.
And at the end shows up just as everything's being wrapped up.
To take credit.
So he can feel like he's part of it.
Yeah.
And that basically that Miss Garrett has to relinquish some of her great work to him.
Yeah.
And he goes, oh, Miss Garrett, you shouldn't. Like, that's essentially the arc for every episode for Mr.
So Brad. He was just trying to come back for the glory. And he missed it by 30 seconds, yeah. And he was mad.
Yeah.
So he says he could have been sitting on the beach with a pig at a luau. But, like, why would you sit at a beach with a pig at a luau? Because I feel like that's cannibalistic. The pig would then watch, like, other people eating the pork.
I think it was a really chauvinistic term for whatever woman he was going to find.
I think you're going way too far with the meaning that these writers could impart with their lines. I think it was just they miswrote it.
Yeah, I think so.
So too. I think that he was like, I'm going to go to a luau and they're going to roast a pig. But like, it was funnier to say, I'm going to go to a luau with a pig.
It's like this episode was written in some weird like dorm room challenge where they all took a bunch of sleepy pills and they were like, write as much words as you can for this scene, which is why like jokes end midpoint. It's like I just passed out. I'm like, I'm out.
I don't remember
you
the last
You can take time. That luau and a pig and... Oh, I'd like to see you try.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Molly
you
comes...
You can take New York and...
Oh, that must be it. That's the end of the scene.
Yeah. John fell asleep. He's out, you guys.
Yeah. So Molly comes down and apologizes to her dad.
She fesses up to inviting her mother over. She says about 400 words in 202 seconds. I'm paraphrasing.
They love one another. And she goes, well, what about mom?
Well, wait, hang on. Because he says when she does her rambling, he's like, you just reminded me why I love you so much. And it's like, did you forget why you loved your daughter?
Yeah.
And did that rambling really like...
Yeah,
be like,
she's,
oh, yeah,
because his grants says she's precocious.
Yeah, she's got to earn that love. It's not unconditional.
Precocious.
earn that love from your father.
And then Dr. Parker says not to worry about Molly's mom because
she's
doing great in her new career.
Yeah.
She's also
which is it, which
another
is totally
wrinkle in their
also unspecified. It's just her career.
Her new career.
But she also has a friend of her own.
Oh, a special friend.
Oh, she does.
Do we all have the same note there, which is she's a lesbian.
Oh,
is that not the note?
He totally cracked it. Yes.
That's literally what I got. Because
she's
from
a career woman.
Career woman now. She's
and she's
different.
Got a special friend.
Special friend. He's like, oh,
so
she's fine.
So she's got a Subaru, is what.
Oh, she's got a Subaru.
Okay,
she's
got
heavy bangs and a friend named Barb.
And a few rescue dogs.
Yeah, and I'm like, she became a dog lady like overnight. That was my final night. Was just mom lesbian. That's just.
I wonder if this is why Molly was saying that thing about the courts and custody that never came to fruition. Was it because like she was like, my mom wants the dogs. She's giving me up, replacing me with dogs.
Mm-hmm. Oh my god, I don't remember that. But I will say this: maybe if we like, because we again, last episode was about a race which we never see any part of. This is about a holiday we never see. But also, the crux of the episode is mom's coming.
Like, she's coming.
We never
she's
see
way.
Mom. As for April's revelation, I'd like to think that, like, if we were to cut to mom, it's like that movie Carol, you know, where it's just, like, hyper-emotional, and she's with her Barb, and she's like, such a pretty face.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I could not believe we don't see her mother.
Yeah,
I know.
What is the justification? Why did we just suffer like that? And it was only 21 minutes. It felt so long.
So long.
So long.
And we didn't even see
her. Is it possible that Molly's mother is dating Cindy? Could that be?
I think you're stressed.
Yeah.
There's not that many lesbians.
So Molly's mom is Kate Blanchett and Cindy is Rooney Mara.
Exactly.
And she's a glove salesman.
Yeah. Yeah. Or she's really Roger. Yeah. Yeah. I never see Roger.
Somebody is
and
Roger.
And then cut to Molly's mom talking to Cindy. She goes, What a peculiar girl. Plucked from the sky.
So Mr. Bradley.
Carol, this is good stuff.
We also learned that that Angela and Godot Parker are friends almost. Oh, yeah.
They're getting there almost.
Yeah. Almost.
And then Natalie says, "How nice." This line is the worst. And it's like, let's make sure we give Natalie one more bullshit line.
Yeah.
It's Natalie goes, "How nice, a match approved by the American Dental Association."
Written by a 50-year-old man.
Yeah.
I did not know the word association.
Yeah.
Or the American Dental, the ADA.
The ADA?
Yeah, exactly.
And I checked, and I thought maybe that was, like, a slogan, like, when they were trying to, like, pair, like, flossing and mouthwash. Like, a match approved by the American Dental. Well, like, toothbrush and toothpaste. They go together. It's a match approved. But I thought that was maybe an expression. I went down a rabbit hole learning about the American Dental Association. Could not come up with this phrase. So this joke means nothing. Also, it's reversed because the mom likes Angela. They're almost friends. That's not a match approved by the American... What are you talking about?
No,
if you start analyzing the jokes of the show, your head just like starts to explode.
It's that the mom is becoming friends with Angela, so she's giving her approval for that match made by the...
It's a loser joke, and speaking of loser jokes, Mr. Bradley is furious that he came back.
Yeah, he is a loser joke.
Why would he be mad at his own action?
He missed his flight.
He missed his flight, and there's no problem.
Yeah.
I canceled my vacation and there's no shitty stuff going on anymore?
He had reservations to take his pig to the Club Med exclusive Hacienda Buffet and Omelet Bar. And he just blew that pig off.
He should really stop calling his date that. It's really nice.
And then so for our last fucking horrible moment of this episode, Mrs. Garrett says, "Isn't this better than sitting on the beach with a pig at a luau?"
Why are they doing this to us?
Then she gives him 3 jabs with his elbow, and he rolls his eyes back to the sky and mouths to Mrs. Garrett, "No." And they freeze frame.
Yeah.
Oh my god, the freeze frame. I did not anticipate a freeze frame.
It always freeze frames.
I was like, what?
I mean, April, what is your overall takeaway from Facts of Life Season 1 in general?
Do you remember any of the first season?
I don't remember the first season, okay. but watching this episode really made me reevaluate like my whole idea of the show, because I remember thinking like,
they
got to the issues, it was good, it was sometimes funny, you like learned about these teens, but I was like, was it actually horrible? Because like, this is one of the worst things that happened to me all week. It's on the list.
It really does. Like, so you probably remember like when they had the store that sold croissants and strudel.
Okay, that seems more familiar. Yeah, maybe, I just remember Tootie being maybe like when Tootie was like 13 or something, like that era of like older teen. I remember that.
It just like Mrs. Garrett says, it gets better.
It gets better. Yeah, I guess. It does get better. It's made me reevaluate everything. That's my takeaway.
It was like, I'm gonna hold you to that, Dominic.
It gets better, Peter.
I will also agree with Dominic. You know, even though I'm not the fanatic he is, I've seen a ton of it, and it gets way better than this. Like, this is like
this was tough. I've only seen now what is this 11?
12.
12. I've only seen 12 of these this show ever.
And they're all the first season.
Like, so
no
I've been watching this
has only seen
in
them.
Order, yeah. right?
How do you get through?
I don't know. I need to take a Valium when everyone leaves.
It felt like an attack. It felt like, honestly, this felt disrespectful to the audience. I'm like, you know this is not a pleasurable viewing experience.
Right.
Why are you doing this?
Here's the thing. Is
don't
that,
make it then.
Is that they, like, this is the worst it's ever been.
Yeah, it's gotten down.
It's like this one was so phoned in.
Yeah.
I've never seen an episode like this. This was like, as though they were like, you know what? Let's let someone who, you know, English is a second language, write this. We'll put it like through like Google Translate of the time. We'll put it into a different language and then back into English. And maybe the jokes might. But we actually don't know what the punchlines are for most of them. Because there aren't any.
So we just
won't
give them.
And she never pretended to be sick. I'm just not realizing. Like, all that build-up, you would think there'd be a scene where she's like, "Dad, I have mono." It didn't even happen.
Exactly.
No,
it was just... Honestly, that was literally just for the stereonucleosis joke.
It was.
That's all that was for.
I guess you could argue,
make
though.
No, it does
not. A disease.
You could argue that they didn't have to trick Dad into thinking she was sick because Dad was already coming. They only had to trick Mom into thinking she was sick, and then she shows up and they're in the same room.
Yeah, but that's.
But then wouldn't Dad be like, "Oh, she's not sick. She's manipulating."
I would have gone the other way. I would have made everybody think I was sick, including Mrs. Garrett.
Everyone, yeah. Absolutely.
Like maybe not the girls who were in on the plan, but like Mrs. Garrett would definitely have to believe I was sick.
And that would be a better scene with
Garrett learning.
Mrs. Garrett
learning that she's a liar.
Yeah, we should.
But they do both have to think she's sick.
We should rewrite this. Absolutely not.
It needs to be something because okay, so what's the chubby one's name?
Natalie.
What she was saying was they got back together because they both were worried about her, so they both have to believe she's sick and both be like. Like, our baby, and then
make
out.
Although they technically got back together because some woman in the next bed was coughing a lot, and Natalie's mom went, "What does this woman have?" And then they both laughed and decided, okay, we like each other.
You're back together.
No, I think it was the dad who said that.
No, it was the mom.
It was the mom.
Was
he pulls the privacy curtain over, and the mom's just like, "What is this bitch contagious?"
With this woman? Next week, Helen Hunt, as we've been teasing all season, will be tricking the girls into buying bongs. So look forward.
Give Helen Hunt a ring. You know?
I'm going to give Helen Hunt a ring, see what we can do. So tune in for that. We'll have Grant, we'll have Peter, and we'll have the lovely Katie Walsh. And of course, as we always do, we will have our lovely Britt Lundborg. So until our big grand season one finale spectacular bid, I bid you goodbye.